In her own words, Monica Bidet is a recovering engineer who decided to follow her calling in life by becoming a writer. Her work includes cookbooks, short stories, and now a brand new novel. So, Monica, what do you want to be when you grow up? You have transcended literary genres by not only being a food writer, but writing essays, a collection of short stories, which I loved, and now a food novel. How would you say each genre has allowed you to grow as a person and as a writer? What would you say has been your biggest challenge?
I think my biggest challenge has been letting go of being an engineer and trying to write and be creative. It's two completely different things, I think. And when I started writing the novel, I kept calling my writer friends and saying, there's no tension, like nothing's happening. And one of them read my first few chapters and said, you're in love with your lead character. How is the story going to move forward unless something happens to him? And I was like, no, wait, something bad should happen to him. He's a really nice guy. So, yeah, my engineering brain wasn't working there. So it's been wonderful, but I don't think I could have written this particular book 12 years ago when I started writing. I had to do my cookbooks. I had to learn about food. I had to do the inspirational book I did. And I learned so much that I could finally come to this point.
When did you get the fiction bug?
When I was 6.
Really?
Yes. Ever since I was a little kid, I was a poet and a storyteller. That's all I've ever wanted to do with my life. And, you know, I think my dad says the best way to get you to do something is to tell you you can't do it. So as a child, they kept telling me, no, you cannot write books. That's not the way to make a living. And here I am, several decades later.
You were
book with poetry.
Walked away from being an engineer. How would you describe the rough contours of the book Karma and the Art of Butter Chicken? And where did you draw inspiration for the story?
So the inspiration for the story is actually very local. It's one of my dear friends and idols, Chef Jose Andreas. I met Jose 15 years ago or so.
Chef Jose Andreas is who introduced me to Monica.
Absolutely. And he's so selfless with all the work that he's done to combat hunger, his work for D.C. Central Kitchen, his traveling to Haiti to get the stoves. And I would always look at him. I mean, he's full of life. He's generous. He's a larger-than-life character. And I kept thinking, well, what if, I mean, there are other people who want to do this, you know? Like, what if a little kid who doesn't have the means, who's an orphan, who doesn't have the training, wants to do something like, you know, helping people who are hungry? How would that person approach it? And I said to somebody the other day, this book is inspired by Jose. And she said, well, she's read the book. And she said, the difference between your character and Jose is that Jose actually knows how to run a business. This kid keeps stumbling and falling and doesn't know what he's doing. But he's trying to get there to help the hungry.
You know, when you say this kid keeps stumbling and falling and doesn't know what he's doing, in some respects, this kid is a reflection of Monica Bidet, who decides to leave something that she's been trained academically to do and plunge into an area about which she only knows that she really wants to do something, but doesn't know exactly how or what.
I think some parts of it are there. It was hard to build a character, but then I kept taking lessons from my own life about, you know, falling and learning and keep moving forward. And if you want to empower other people to do something, you first have to learn to empower yourself. And for me, that was one of the biggest lessons in my life. And that's what I tried to apply to this. I remember last year I was invited to the DC Chef Challenge to be a judge. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited. It was one of those dream come true opportunities, you know. Mm-hmm. And yet when I got on stage, I was hiding behind one of the chefs when they started taking pictures. Mm-hmm. And when I came off stage, my husband said, what happened? And I said, oh, my God, I look so fat. And then I thought, wait a minute. Here I am telling people, follow your dreams, come up and stand up. And I go up there and I'm such a hypocrite. I'm hiding because I feel like I'm so fat. And then I decided, okay, this is it. If I'm going to tell people to do something and follow their dreams, I've got to show them how. So I went on the Chef Challenge this year again. I was invited as a guest. And I'd lost 26 pounds, and I stood there and smiled, and then I said, if I can do it, you can do it too.
Should mention, I'm not giving away that much here, that Karma and the Art of Butter Chicken is a story about an Indian boy who was orphaned as a little kid and consequently raised by Buddhist monks. He dreams of opening up a restaurant to help the poor, but he can't just seem to get the logistics to work until he comes across a local TV cooking competition. You'll have to read the book to find out the rest. At what point did you know that you needed to move off the engineering path to a different one as a writer? These dreams that you've been keeping in sight since you were 6 years old.
I mean, it was hard, you know. Back now, it seems everybody can change professions, and people don't really get that upset. But when I was growing up, the choice was, you know, become a doctor, a lawyer, or an engineer, or marry rich. Those were the choices. I became an engineer, and I did it because, you know, my parents really strongly believed, which is true, in the power of education and financial stability and all of that. And by God's grace, I had a great job with Ernst & Young. I never hated my job. Great people. But at the same time, I wouldn't really wake up in the morning and go, woohoo, leadership training, let's go. It was not me. I felt like a part of me was dying. And, you know, a friend of mine passed away quite suddenly. She was 35. And it just opened my eyes. You realize it's one life. And you take a risk. It's a risk. I mean, I don't recommend people just leave college and go do something random. It's a risk. It has to be a calculated risk. These arty professions can either pay a lot or pay nothing. You know, I remember talking to
a... break you financially and spiritually,
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. I remember talking to a very famous writer in Washington, D.C. when I first started writing, and I said to her, what advice would you give me as a writer? And she said, there are two kinds of writers. The one people know about and the ones people don't. If you want to survive, try to fall in the first category.
That's the best advice you could get. But you've been known for writing nonfiction about food and culture. How would you compare the challenges of writing nonfiction to the challenges of fiction? And in this case, constructing an entire novel. I read the short stories before, but short stories are a whole different ball of wax, aren't they?
Short stories are different. You've got to tell a lot in a very tight space. But I think for me, my food writing actually informed a lot of my fiction. Whenever I research foods and I go back, there's so much to learn about where the foods came from, who used to make them. And in my last few trips to Delhi, I became very fascinated by the Buddhist monasteries in Delhi and what they were doing. And I'd just go and hang out outside the monastery, see sort of what was going on. And it's sort of like the puzzle pieces started to fall together. You know, the Jose character was in my heart already. I knew he was going to love food. And here was this monastery. And I was like, okay, now how do I fit all these pieces together?
Well, it was reading your short stories that I realized that this person that I thought I knew had this wild imagination involving beauty, the bizarre, the macabre, and all all of this together. Is this what you were nurturing since you were 6 years old?
I'm quite sad. Like, I'm a scary personality, I think, sometimes. I have all these crazy people living inside my head, which I love. I love listening to their stories. I love what they tell them. And I feel very guided and very blessed.
How has being the global citizen that you are affected there?
I think the ability to ask questions and be curious just about anything and not try to live in a particular box has been very helpful. And once you tell people you're a writer, they love to tell you their stories. I don't know. There's something about, it's like being a therapist. They're like, I write. Oh, my God, let me tell you about my grandfather and his recipe for blah, blah, blah. And then it just opens up this whole new amazing world.
As if you didn't have enough stories in your head already. Having people tell you additional stories, I guess, simply add fodder to the fire, if you will. What's next for you?
I have an inspirational coloring book releasing at the end of November. You know, I love talking about, like, following your dreams and, you know, things that you can do and about being centered. And I thought, well, what if I put that together in a book with some coloring pieces so you could, you know, do some coloring, stay centered, and read about being creative? And my next novel actually is based in Washington, D.C. So we'll see if I'm qualified or not to write about Washington, since I'm not a native Washingtonian, but I'm going to attempt it.
We look forward to the coloring book. We look forward especially to the novel based in Washington, D.C., and we always look forward to conversations with Monica Bidet. She's a food writer and cookbook author. Her new novel is called Karma and the Art of Butter Chicken. Monica, thank you for joining us. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
That's it for the show today, but remember, there's always more happening in person and online. You might have seen that the MacArthur Foundation named its new class of fellows, and it includes a few people local to this region. The list of so-called genius grant winners also includes the the graphic novelist Jean Luen Yang. He's the ambassador for children's literature at the Library of Congress. He also spoke with our producer Ruth Tam earlier this year about identity, shame, and comic book culture. You can find that interview on our blog at kojoshow.org. Remember, you can listen to us anywhere on your favorite podcast app, and be sure to check out tomorrow's Politics Hour. D.C. Councilmember Mary Che and Prince George's County Executive Rashern Baker will be in studio speaking about everything from the landscape for marijuana in our region to the demise of legislation designed to give hourly workers more predictable schedules. That's all coming up tomorrow at noon. Until then, thank you all for listening. I'm Kojo Nandi.
The Kojo Nandi Show is produced by Michael Martinez, Ingelisa Schrobstorf, Caleb Burney, Ruth Tam, and Avery Kleinman. The engineer is Beck Bunting. Podcasts of all shows and audio archives are available at our website, kojoshow.org.
Thanks for listening to the Kojo Nandi Show, and if you're already a member of WAMU 88.5, thank you for your support. If not, it's easy to give online at wamu.org. Just click the donate button, and thanks.